Hello and welcome to another episode of Music's on the Menu. I am one of your hosts, Alex Bird, joined alongside me for not much longer by
Hugh Dana.
And we are coming to you live from the traditional and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Nation peoples here in Vancouver, British Columbia, at the UBC campus. Hugh, how are you doing today?
How's your Monday? Today, mate. It's a busy bit. Got a busy stretch of days coming here, but we're still gonna talk about some chewing. Give ourselves a good break as we head into my final crunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am.
How are you feeling?
Ugh, I am feeling the effects of the final crunch. It's not even the school. Like, the schoolwork is pretty whatever at this point. Like, you know, I'm used to it. I can do it. It's fine. It's more just the incredible stress that job hunting is. And it's just like every job application feels like it has the weight of the universe behind it. And if it doesn't work out, then I'm truly screwed for the rest of my life. Which has just made the whole process very stressful. It's a pretty negative mentality to have, but
yeah,
it's also the one I have.
Ever felt that?
I don't know. I'm under a lot of self-imposed pressure right now.
You know,
to be something that's pretty impractical, probably, but also not impractical because I look around and I feel like I see a bunch of other people who are doing what I want to be doing. But they're also the exception, and they probably have insecurities and anxieties of their own. So, perhaps nobody is doing as well as they present themselves as being. Or perhaps they are all doing better than me and I'm the failure. Who knows? That will be borne out in time. Which, fortunately, I guess I still have, considering I'm like 21 years old. You know, still a bit of runway, I guess, but how much longer can you really keep saying that until you run out of that runway?
Never run out of that runway, mate.
Yeah, that's the real truth.
But anyways, let's chat about some chewing. Let's use this as an escape. As Ken Carson says, everyone's fighting their demons.
Exactly.
But today we're going to break from tradition, and we are going to talk about a record that came out 4 days ago.
Because otherwise we would just be sort of spending a lot of time on people.
Just playing chewing. Oh. Two. Yeah. But I don't really think we need to wait 10 days for this one, considering we waited 10 days for the last one. So yeah. Maybe it's better to just get right into this one. Mm-hmm. We're of course talking about the second collab mixtape LP record from Metro Boomin and Future. This one, follow-up to We Don't Trust You, titled We Still Don't Trust You.
Kind of a lame title.
I liked it. I think it's cool.
It's a title.
A two-disc, or pretty much a two-side album. We have disc one of 18 tracks and disc two of 7 tracks. They are completely different sounding. But we're going to focus on disc one, because disc two is very similar to We Don't Trust You. Yeah, We Still Don't Trust You is the complete opposite of We Don't Trust You, which we kind of discussed. We thought, how are you going to split up, how are you going to split two bodies of work in the span of 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is all boomy rap and trap rap, and the second one is completely Future crooning, almost no rap at all.
Yeah, and also pretty much completely solo in the mission too.
Correct.
Far fewer features on the second.
Yep.
Iteration.
Just a feature from The Weeknd and a stunning feature from J. Cole.
Stunning in multiple ways.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. But yeah, what were your expectations? We'll start with our expectations as we always do.
I guess just like general curiosity more than anything else is like the prevailing feeling going into this, of like, what are they doing? Like you said, like, you're coming out with a second album like three weeks whatever it is after you just came out with one together. Same producer, same lead artist. So yeah, how do you differentiate it? How do you make it different? You can reasonably, again, like, expect it to be good going in, because you have no reason to come out with an album immediately after you already came out with one, unless you really think that you've got like 40 you've made 40 some odd songs that all deserve to see the light of day. So yeah, it was more just like general curiosity as to what they were going to do with it, more than any like expectation of standards going into it. But yeah, the album comes out, and they did kind of, it isn't that surprising that they went with the mix that they went with, where, like you said, one was all rap, and this one is a little more melodic, a little more R&B-y, more singing, more crooning from Future than the first album had, which I think very much works to the benefit of this album. And I feel like, even though it is still early in the digestion process, you know, we're still working from the small intestine to the large intestine here. Nice analogy there. I do feel like this is the better of the two projects.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like, again, like, still early returns, but I feel like it's the better of the two, just because I felt like the energy was a bit higher throughout, and I feel like energy was a bit higher throughout, and also just, I think, like, Future's mumble rapping, like I kind of alluded to talking when we talked about the first album, can kind of only go so far, and the fact that there's more of an emphasis on melody with this one, I think, makes it better as like a 20 album or a 18 track collection versus the first one. There's my synopsis.
Nice, well spoken. I definitely there's definitely some points I agree with. My expectations, I were high because of how much I enjoyed the second one, just how well and how tightly made it was, how thought through it was. I do love crooning Future. I don't think this is the best crooning Future out there. Everything is really good. This is definitely a complete 360 from
kind
the first
one. Kind of
talking
into the bottom of the mic.
A complete 360 from the first one.
A complete 180, you mean?
Yeah, 180. and I really like it. I definitely really like it. I mean, I prefer crooning Future over trap Future and kind of brooding Future. But I don't think this is the best of his crooning that I've ever seen. And I think one of the reasons for that is this is probably the most ambitious collection of instrumentals I've ever heard from Metro Boomin. It's just like a dope mix of trap, R&B, synth pop. There's electric guitars in there. There are 80s drum machines in there. There's these airy synthy keys, and then guitar solos throughout. And I think that is really not, like, that's a complete divergence from his standard vein of work. And I think that also kind of means that this isn't Future's. We said that about the other record, how this doesn't really feel like this doesn't feel like a collection of beats that Future would necessarily rap on. This is similar, because this is really ambitious, in my opinion. The instrumentals on here are full of incredibly real instruments, dope drum machines, dope guitar sounds. And crooning Future is usually an 808 with some, like, when I think about solo, like, I think about crooning Future or Purple Rain, this is definitely has a greater, more varied instrumental. And this isn't to say that this is bad. I don't think that the work on here is as of high quality as on the first one. And I think an example of that can be seen in Nobody Knows My Struggle, which is a really good song on the second disc. Future just straight up rapping on a Future beat, and he's just really going through it and hitting all these different bars, and there's all these different really highs on that song. But this is an easier album to listen to, and I think a more of a rewarding listen. Just because there's a lot more. I mean, whenever you're more melodic and less rappy, there's a lot more that I think the ear naturally enjoys and goes to.
At least your ear.
Well, I just think just the way humans interpret sound when it comes in a certain way, we're drawn to it. And this is a much more rewarding listen. The instrumentals are amazing. Future is really good. It's always so fun when Future goes all over the board with his voice. This is the right way to do two projects, one back to back. Pretty much two completely different projects, two completely different sounds, two completely different sets of instruments and ideas. And I have to applaud them, because these are two totally different experiences. And you can't even compare them, which is really impressive. And they threw in the disc too. Just, I think those were probably songs that didn't make the cut on the other record.
That makes sense.
That are worth it. But yeah, this is a dope record.
Yeah, I want to piggyback too on your point about how the production is a lot more varied on this one. A lot more like ambitious, as you said. Just because, like, that's a feeling I've had, a concern I've had around Metro Boomin for a few years now. Like, the very first episode we ever did of this show, I brought up my feeling of, like, I feel like he's kind of making a lot of similar beats.
And they're all still good.
Making kind of a lot of similar beats and they're all, like, good, but it's, like, getting very familiar. And I felt like some of the deeper parts, the deeper cuts of We Don't Trust You, of the first of this two-album batch, kind of suffered from that, too, of just sort of feeling a little, like, blander and all that. Or, yeah, just, like, less creative, a little one, similar. And like, from the first song on this album, you are met with an entirely different palette that you normally get from a Metro Boomin beat. And, like, I would have assumed that the reason why it was a lot more synthy is, like, oh, maybe because The Weeknd's on the song, maybe he co-produced, maybe he threw in the synths, because we know he's been doing that lately. But he didn't, or at least he's not credited as having done it. Probably inspired it, but it wasn't credited with having doing it. So I want to piggyback. I think the fact that there is a lot more innovation going on with the beats is also a reason why I enjoy the album a bit more than the other one, I think.
Yeah.
Just more inspired. Because the other thing, too, is whatever. That's irrelevant.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is that there was no way to expect this sounding of a record. Whereas when you listen to the first record, it is the sound you got is what we all expected.
Yeah.
This is totally different. And of course, novelty is always exciting and new.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great point. I'll piggyback your point of, I do remember you saying, yeah, like, how long can Metro Boomin do this? Like, these are all outstanding beats, but, like, eventually you have to change things up. The instrumentals on this are so dope. Like, they're engaging, they're colorful, they're catchy by themselves. Like, mm-hmm. the beat to the intro track is probably the highlight of the song. With those super airy keys descending down.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like I said, this is the most ambitious collection of instrumentals I've heard Metro Boomin produce, I think. The Spider-Verse 2 soundtrack is really cool with a lot
That's another very ambitious.
Exactly, but that's a little different because there's a different kind of ear that has to get approved by.
And also, you're making it for something instead of just making it to make it.
But man, this is like, if he wanted to pivot and do another record like this, but with all of his buddies, like Don Toliver would sound so dope on this. You could do Future does sound dope on this. Like,
mm-hmm. Keep Future around.
I didn't get bored of this at all, and this is a long listen. I mean, this is a 25 song, 1 hour and 28 minute. Listen,
complete package.
Yeah, and I never taught there's particularly on the original on disc one, there doesn't feel like there's any lulls, and I think the reason for that is because each instrumental is so unique and so engaging and really catchy that like you just keep kind of, one of the things with it was kind of similar to that Beyonce record Cowboy Carter, where the instrumental was just like, whoa, the instrumental itself was engaging. Mm-hmm. And so when the instrumental is engaging, the song becomes more engaging. And that is definitely my favorite part of this record. I wouldn't be able to tell you what song is my favorite because honestly, there's so many that I really like. And the instrumentals are so dope. And we're glazing the instrumentals. But it's such a U-turn from the album that dropped 3 weeks ago that I think that's the point we have to hammer home the most.
Mm-hmm. Is that, yeah, it's not like a glorified deluxe or anything. It's a whole new thing that stands on its own.
Yeah, and as to why people should listen to this, similar to Cowboy Carter again, this is a crazy cool fusion of Future's sound, Metro Boomin's talent over these really unique and ambitious sounding instrumentals that, like, the more I'm sitting here and the more I'm thinking about my experience listening to this, Future sounds awesome on. And the thematics are standard Future thematics.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about being rich and lots of women and kind of the trials and tribulations of being someone who is as popular as he is. But it's still an awesome listen. This is a really good listen with amazing instrumentals. And Future crooning is an easy listen. And the melodies are all really strong. This is a really, really enjoyable album.
Yeah. Yeah. And he also weighs in on his feelings about Big Threes, feeling that it should be a Big Four.
Yeah, that was crazy. The Charlemagne the God. That is on disc two, I believe.
Yeah, number it's like one. The opening to disc two, yeah.
The Charlemagne the God sample calling. This is a perfect segue because we actually can't play any of these on the radio because there is no clean version of the album.
Oh, really?
No, and there's no clean version of We Don't Trust You either.
That's not true. Because we played...
No, that song just was already clean.
I'm pretty sure I found a clean version of the album when I was going...
Oh, yeah, here's the clean version of this. I can't find the clean version of We Still Don't Trust You.
That's unfortunate.
So, yeah, nothing will be played. So this is a segue into our maybe A, as you say, A1 or A2 conversation, which is the presence of J. Cole on this record and, of course, the Drake disc that has been leaked.
As you've always mentioned, though, Hugh, is it really a leak if it's a Drake leak?
No. But he's not going to put it on streaming. Anything that's leaked from Drake is leaked on purpose.
Yeah, I know. As you say, mm-hmm. But yeah, the presence of J. Cole on We Still Don't Trust You was very, very surprising. After all that's gone down the last few weeks, as things pertain to rap beef and, you know,
I think
personal
this is a crazy
relationships.
Gamble. I think this is a crazy gamble because if Kendrick disses him, it's over. Like, I think that could be it for him. That's a stake to the heart. If you apologize and then you link up with the ops and then the ops diss you,
yeah, then
you're done, man.
Then you're looking silly. You're looking silly regardless, right?
Yeah, he already kind of looks. I mean, I think he got caught in something he didn't realize how hot it was going to be. I don't know what happened with J. Cole. The verse is dope. That song, Red Leather, is probably my favorite song, honestly.
Yeah, like, this isn't about, like, the quality of the verse. This is about just, like, the fact of it being there more than anything else. I mean...
And perhaps it's all for clicks.
Well, yeah.
And if so, kudos to J. Cole.
That's the world we live in, where everything is for attention is the most powerful currency in the world. So
damn, for real.
Dropping wisdom. So, yeah.
And
certainly got a lot of people tuning into that his new album that he came out with, and then promptly removed Then he promptly removed the track that brought everybody there.
He did?
Well, yeah, I thought he said he was going to ask it to be taken off streaming, so.
Yeah, you can't listen to it anymore.
Yep.
Dude, that is, I don't like that. That's, I mean, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, like I sat up here and I kind of defended J. Cole's apologizing because I did, like, respect the,
yeah, that's
the self-realization.
It's a grown thing to do.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't foresee him ending up on the album with the people that he... Well, he didn't. He dissed Kendrick. He didn't diss future Metro Boomin. But still, it's all, like, by association. I didn't expect him to show up on it, which, yeah, I mean, yeah, just, like, makes me wonder... Because obviously, like, he knew he was going to be on the album, right? Like, they don't make these... presumably, that was already said and made and done, right? Like, presumably... I don't know how... Something I was thinking about last night, actually, is I kind of have no sense of how the production process of an album goes and how things get put together. Because in my head, I imagine you, like, finish it and then you, like, then roll out the promo for, like, a couple weeks and then you release it when it's... And you've, like, already been sitting on it. But it sounds like things are always a lot more fluid than that in reality. But even still, like, if he's going to be on the second part of these two albums, then he must have known, or at least my thinking is, that, like, presumably he would have known what Kendrick was going to say on Like That.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're cool with still being on the next thing, even though you know that a diss towards you is coming, then why reply to the diss? Why make a whole song in response to the diss if you knew the diss was coming? Because the diss only really works if it's a surprise. Because he also wasn't really even dissing you, he was dissing Drake. And again, presumably, if you're going to be on the next album, you're aware of, like, the stuff that's going on between the other people. And then, yeah, and then 7 Minute Drill happens, and then he immediately takes it back, and now he's on the album. It's just, I just don't really...
Too much backtracking.
It just makes the whole thing even more confusing, because if he was taken off guard by the diss, by Kendrick's diss, and then makes his diss of his own, and then regrets it, and that's just the sequence of events, then fine, whatever. But if you're already on a project with the people who facilitated the initial diss, then it kind of does make it feel more publicity stunty.
Mm-hmm.
Because presumably everything would have already been premeditated?
Who knows?
Who knows?
We're going to find out.
Obviously.
We're going to find out. If Kendrick disses him, then his career will never be the same. It won't be over, but there will never be a big three anymore. That's already over. Because clearly both the other two never even thought about it like that. The only one who ever does comparisons is J. Cole. Like, Drake never compares himself to Kendrick. Kendrick never compares himself to Drake. J. Cole's the only one who compares himself to either two.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it's awesome for us because we're like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And like, if we're really being critical about it, yeah, it's kind of, I probably wouldn't do that. That's just a lot of backtracking and a lot of flip-flopping on things that seem to be truly serious. And that could actually affect your career because clearly Drake's never going to do a song with him again. Like, Drake really had a problem with him first apologizing. And then, and like you said, your first number one, I had to put it in your hand. And I was thinking as I was walking here, like, damn, like, if Kendrick wants to, he could just kill this man now. Like, he's just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could end it. He could make it so J. Cole's never respected in the same way, which is crazy. Because J. Cole's put up such a huge body of work. But that is the way things go these days.
Yeah, what have you done for me lately?
Exactly. As for the Drake response, it was... I think it got leaked on Friday, which would make sense. Like, the couple out, like, Friday in the afternoon. Or was it Saturday, maybe?
I think it was Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday is when I heard it. Spread like wildfire.
Initial speculation of it being artificial intelligence, which is kind of funny, but was not.
No, it's not.
No, it wasn't, but I'm saying it's kind of...
Yeah, of course. That always has to be thrown out now.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
Because that crazy good Drake Weekend Artificial song that came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I actually heard another leak earlier today that was way more cerebral. And it sounded like someone had recorded him in the studio. It was way more garbled, and it was only like 45 seconds, but it was less of like a, like Drake made an actual song.
Yeah.
That was a diss.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that the other one that I heard today was just a straight up diss, less of a catchy song, because he just has a chorus
a
in
rant.
The diss he made. In push-ups, I think is what people are calling it now.
Yeah. Drop and give me 50.
Yeah. But well, that was a very impressive diss. I don't know if Kendrick Lamar is ever going to respond, honestly.
Well, I mean...
Especially now. I mean, if Drake's right and he had a...
You said that about Drake and he did a response. So I know, but... I think you've just manifested a Kendrick Lamar response.
I didn't know that Kendrick had this song sitting around for 4 years. Like, that's... Like, with new information, my opinion is changing. And if that's true, then maybe he just... Kendrick Lamar is someone who just doesn't need to get, who just wouldn't get involved just because he doesn't want to.
Well, the thing is that he started it.
Well, kind of. But they had been beefing since 20.
Yeah, I know. But, like, he's the one who put gas on the fire.
He did.
There were embers. And then Kendrick was like, all right, let's get some more kindling going. Let's get another set of matches and let's get some gasoline.
For
and
real.
Blow this thing back up again. So I feel like that would... I think there kind of at least has to be.
And maybe that was the point of
three stages of this.
Is now Kendrick kind of has to respond, maybe. And I didn't. How do you feel? I mean, maybe people knowing that. Like, I'm just shocked that Drake knows that he has had a diss song sitting for 4 years now. Does that change my opinion? Not too much.
Change your opinion on what?
Like, what comes next?
Oh.
The sequence of how this is going to go. The only person who actually dropped a diss song now is Drake. So now it's officially begun, because you can't really say that verse was...
No, that was just the prelude.
Yeah, now it's begun. And we're really going to see what happens now.
That was the opening crawl. This is the...
Act
the
one.
Star Destroyer intercepting the Tantive
IV. Oh, that's good. That's a fantastic analogy.
I'm cooking with analogies today. Look at me.
How do you? I mean, did you listen to the Drake diss?
Yeah, I've listened to it twice now, and
it's really long.
It's as good as you can reasonably have hoped. Like, it, better than I thought it was gonna be. And
damn, for real?
Yeah, dude, like I think like honestly, man, like I feel like that song, because it's like it's a good rap song on its own too, like it doesn't just rely on the fact that it is a diss for it to be like attention grabbing, like it's good on its own. And yeah, like I was listening to it before, you know, at like 4:45 before getting in here re-listening to it, and I was like, yeah, like this is like, if you're a Drake fan, you're very happy with, and you're, if you're in like Drake fan and you're, you know, you've taken up your sword for your glorious king on this crusade, you know, you're very happy right now, I think, with where you stand. Cause it was a good diss, and it has a lot of lines that have in it that have really captured people's attention and have already become memes. Like the Metro shut your butt up and make some drums. Like, that line is objectively really funny and has already created a buzz. People speculating that Metro Boomin may have to pick up the mic on his own and say something.
That's a whole different conversation.
Which is a whole other thing, but...
Like, how do... Like,
that's just people making jokes.
No, but, like, I do think that it's gotten to the point where I do think Metro now wishes he was an artist. Just from the way that I see him up on stage with people and how he's presenting these albums.
And also the fact that even on albums that aren't, like, his, like the like these two with Future, like, when he's a producer, it's no longer just the tag. He's a featured artist.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Metro's really in this now. And then I saw today that he had sent a bunch of people the reference track for Jumbotron She Poppin'.
Yeah.
Her Loss, which obviously was written by Lil Yachty. You know from the Up 8 a.m. Geek and Hard, I'm a real vamp. Drake's not going to write that line. Like, that's not a line Drake's ever going to write.
I think it's more just part of the larger thing of the, you know, the... It's more. I think that's more just not necessarily Jumbotron Poppin being written by somebody else entirely, but that it's another example of Drake not writing a song of Drake's. And so I think that's kind of the main thing, is that it just fits into the larger narrative around him and his ghostwriters and all that stuff.
But that's a better song with Drake on it than Yachty. So, I mean...
Sure, but people in... I think the... this okay, now we're getting into the whole rap community, pop community, yada, yada, yada thing. But people in hip-hop, I think, really, really care, both the artists and the fans, really, really care about you writing your material, because it's supposed to be about your personal experience and it's supposed to be like your story in some way. And so if you're having somebody else do that, that's a real bad look. Like in pop, that's no big deal. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
But that's a...
Pop's a far more collaborative.
Different medium.
Yeah.
But...
Collaborative creation
But with process. But with hip-hop, it's... In the hip-hop culture, that is... Now, saying that made me feel real dumb because I'm a freaking upper-middle-class white guy, but that's... Writing your own songs is something that matters a lot, and if you don't write... And if you are not writing your own songs, then that is a pretty... Then that is quite a large indictment in those circles. And so I think it's less about Jumbotron specifically, but more just it's part of a pattern of behavior.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm not someone who cares who wrote the song.
Yeah.
Mostly because I just like I talk about Louis Bell all the time, how much I enjoy Louis Bell. Like, for me, whoever made it, who is whoever made it. And I don't care who wrote the bars. It's whoever gave me the song. I enjoy the song. I enjoy the song.
The other thing too is that if you did care about that, you wouldn't be a Drake fan right now.
Well, I mean,
if it really mattered to you that much.
Yeah, I guess. But like Michael Jackson had people writing stuff for him, all the time. Like the people just when you get so big, you just don't have time. And also when you're so good at what you do, if you hear a song and you're like, "Let me have that song," people will give it to you because you will make that song bigger and you'll make that song better.
I think
Lil Yachty probably wrote that song and said, "Check this out."
Mm-hmm.
And Drake was like, "Yo, can I have that?"
Yeah.
And Lil Yachty was like, "Well, yeah, you would probably do a better thing. You would probably do better on it than I would."
I think it's also too a matter of crediting.
Yeah.
Because that's like the ghost writer implies that this person is not credited for their writing on the song, and the artist is claiming that they were the face of the song is the one claiming that they did all of the writing, when in fact there were uncredited people.
And
which is far worse than just
and
having
ghostwriting just doesn't make sense financially from the songwriter's perspective.
Well, if you're like small time and you're kind of powerless.
Oh, I know, but like when you're Quentin Nelson and you write Rico, like Drake, obviously maybe Drake paid you a bunch of money, but like ghostwriters don't exist, because if I sell you a song for, even if it's like $300,000 and the song blows up, all of those residuals I could have gotten would be way greater. So you would just have the songwriting credit regardless. That's an interesting point, though, that I didn't think about. But, I mean, obviously Drake's song, Drake and the Ghostwriters is, I mean, when was the Meek Mill beef? 2014?
Yeah.
10 years ago now.
It's existed in the public consciousness.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know that the big hits, Drake Rice.
I'll take your word for that.
Yeah, like all of the, like, you know, those are him, just from the way that the words are being presented. Like 7 AM on Bridal Path, obviously him. Hotline Bling, obviously him. And then there's obviously like Work is somebody totally different. I guess he's just the feature on Work, but that's just an example.
Also, like, Party Next Door is credited on that, right?
Oh yeah, he gave her the song. Writer.
Yeah.
To me, like, that's a thing. I never get into a fervor on who wrote the song. Mm-hmm. Like, I love Dua Lipa's music. I don't think that she's the only one in the room writing the song. There's probably six people in there. And that doesn't mean that I like Dua Lipa any less. She's still the one who has to perform the song.
Mm-hmm. Give it its personality.
Exactly.
Yeah. But again, that's pop versus rap, where the stuff is perceived and the systems of the creation are understood differently.
Exactly. And where we believe Drake is in that spectrum probably greatly affects how we feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Should we take a break now?
Yes.
We could play something new from this week. There was some really cool stuff that came out this week. A new Maggie Rod, just some stuff that is worth shouting out. A new Maggie Rogers record, Don't Forget Me, definitely worth checking out. Sabrina Carpenter single, that was pretty cool. NLE Slept Me Out 2.
Is a thing that exists in the world now.
Yeah. But I think we should play this Maggie Rogers song. I've really been enjoying this Maggie Rogers album. She's really dope singer-songwriter. Famous for the NYU video of Pharrell listening to her tracks and having his mind blown.
Oh, this person.
That's Maggie Rogers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'm glad she actually got somewhere and wasn't just like every person who's ever won The Voice or whatever and they had their 15 seconds and faded. I'm glad she's endured.
Kelly Clarkson won American Idol, man.
Okay, well, yeah, there's exceptions. But
yeah, Maggie Rogers, that song was Alaska, which...
I'm glad she's a thing.
Now has 232 million plays.
Excellent.
And this is her third record. This is... I'll play a song. Which one do I want to play? They're all really good. I can't even lie. I'll play The Kill. We'll play The Kill.
All right.
So, as we pay our bills...
yep.
And because we can't play a song from Metro Boomin Futures, we still don't trust you due to it not being clean... This is a song from Maggie Rogers' junior record, Don't Forget About Me. This is The Kill off of Maggie Rogers' new record, Don't Forget About Me.
Start to blend in again. brush and wipe all the past from my eyes. Curl up next to you in tall grass. Sunshine, grab my body shape round your side.
Debut contemporary pop album Full Bloom is now yours to discover. Full Bloom is a living garden of 12 songs that celebrates the beauty and the seasonal nature of life. You can find Full Bloom wherever you listen to music. Visit thekristencarter.com or follow at Kristen Carter Music for more. Funded by Factor and Canada's private radio broadcasters.
I just wanna feel.
Doxa Documentary Film Festival returns May 2nd to 12th, 2024. Audiences of all ages are invited to 10 days of curiosity and critical thought in film. For 22 years, Doxa continues to present both short and feature films from across Canada and the globe, representing some of the best in documentary cinema. This year, Doxa is once again returning to local theaters in Vancouver and will feature live discussions, workshops, and other industry networking events with filmmakers. Visit doxafestival.ca for tickets, and we hope to see you there.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground, Thursdays, noon to 1.
Are you interested in playing, watching, or discussing all things cricket? Look no further than UBC's Cricket Club. Reach out to @AMSUBCCricketClub on Instagram to get connected today.
And we back, and we back, and we are back.
That was the kill.
Yeah, that was really cool. I'm glad, I'm still like, that was like the best news I've gotten all day. That because I've seen that video of her showing Pharrell, that's a song she had made, and Pharrell being absolutely gobsmacked
by
it.
Yeah, stunned.
And so I'm glad that she became something.
Yeah.
That's really good to hear.
That whole record, I think there's a song that everyone will have their foot tapping to. It's a really dope record. Go check out Maggie Rogers' Don't Forget Me. Just recently came out.
There we go.
But 15 more minutes or 13 more minutes. This is possibly the last time we're in the studio. Because next week, I guess we'd come in next week.
Yeah.
Why
couldn't we?
I don't know. I don't know when. My finals are Monday. My finals are Saturday, Monday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Ooh.
I don't know when.
Oh, do you have another final on Monday other than the history one?
No.
Okay.
I don't know when that is.
It's in the morning.
Oh, all right. Never good.
So, yeah. I don't remember precisely when, but it's in the morning. Anyway.
But judging from that sentence, the school year is coming to the end, which means for us, because even though it is mid-April, summer is beginning.
Yes.
Summer is definitely my favorite time to listen to music. My favorite, like I'm, as you know, I'm a niche playlist guy. I make playlists for any and every scenario. Summer is one of my favorites. Just because of the activities you can do or the nostalgia involved or the weather, for me.
Now, weather's good in the summer here, too.
Yeah. Just constant sunshine, zero clouds.
Until the smoke comes.
Yeah, for you guys.
True. You know, the forests have all burned down already over there.
The forests are all in the north.
Oh, true.
But summer's coming up, and last summer we got some banger records. Travis Scott's Utopia, Metro Boomin' Spider-Verse 2. For me, we had Tiny's Data. The summer before, we had Un Verano Sin Ti. We've been on a run of absolute classics dropping in the summer. So we thought we'd close these. Because next week, I assume, we're going to talk about Taylor Swift, who drops this Thursday night at 9 o'clock.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Or we could play Hours in Silence 11 times in a row, like we said we would.
Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to this summer? Or what kind of record, maybe not a person, but what vein, what genre would just really amplify your summer?
Man.
Because for me, that happens. Like Metro Boomin, Spider-Verse, and Un Verano Sin Ti, like when those were like the soundtracks for that summer and made me love those those albums even more and made my summer just feel that much more fun and rooted in the moment.
Gosh, I don't know if I think about stuff that way.
Dua Lipa does drop.
Dua Lipa does May drop, 3rd. Which I'm very much looking forward to.
She did just drop a single. Maybe we'll kick the show out with that.
Because I've enjoyed the singles to that album, so I am looking forward to that album. And that will be, I think, an album that sounds very well in the summer, just based off the pretty bright, synthy, energetic production that the three singles have carried so far.
Executive produced by Kevin Parker of Tame Impala fame.
And thank goodness for that. That it wasn't just a one-off with Houdini.
That's such a dope, because, I mean, you can't really get better. Like, it's hard to make better synth pop than Future Nostalgia. I remember we sat here, we were like, where is Dua Lipa going to go from here?
Kevin Parker.
Wow.
Kevin Parker.
What a genius move, because you can go. Kevin Parker is, from any place, is either a semi, is like a lateral up or just a straight up move. Mm-hmm.
It's either a lateral move or just directly vertical.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like it's impossible to go down. So that'll be dope.
Mm-hmm.
I love my reggaeton, you know.
Yes.
Anything from Rauw Alejandro, Bad Bunny. I listen to so much reggaeton in the summer, dude.
It fits the geography,
it fits the weather, it fits the vibe. Honestly, never mind. We'll be absolutely pumping when those hazy suns start to set and you're driving through the hills, man. Honestly, never mind. It's just
down Mulholland Drive.
Yeah, or just even better when you're up in the Santa Monica Mountains, and there's just like It's just like these
on the PCH.
Yeah, these weird rock outcroppings with these like random ass, oddly built mansions, and you can see the ocean on one side and the valley on the other. It's just magical, man. One of the reasons why I adore, honestly, Nevermind so much. Party Next Door's album drops in 11 days. That's a big moment for me, except that that's not really a summer record, but I will listen to that throughout the summer.
I mean, I think what I don't something. What am I trying to say? I don't know. In the vein of like, just what do I want to have happen? What do I want to come out?
Does your listening habits change seasonally?
Like, I don't think so. I think it stays pretty consistent because it's just the stuff I like is the stuff I like is the stuff I like. Obviously, you know, it will be like if I'm in like my friend's backyard and we're hanging out having a summer day, then obviously, and I'm like for some reason in charge of the music because people apparently like to anoint me that, maybe because I have a radio show or something like that. Then yeah, like obviously, like, you know, you try to curate more of a vibe, but for my own personal listening, I don't think I really think about it in that way. What I would really like to come out like, I feel like you talk about these moments occasionally where you'll be like re-listening to a Drake song from a classic Drake song or something that you love, and you're just like, man, why don't they make music like this anymore and stuff like that. And I've been having moments like that with like old Kendrick Lamar songs, like just listening to stuff off Good Kid, Mad City or To Pimp a Butterfly, and just being like, man, they're just like, hip hop just isn't this good right now. There just isn't anything as good as Good Kid, Mad City, which, I mean, fair enough. Like, it's a pretty high bar, but still.
What is that vibe? What is that element in Good Kid, Mad City that you are craving?
I think, well, it's excellent lyrics, and like the songs are still pretty catchy to sing along to for me. Like, excellent lyrics, and then also like pretty like rich instrumentals too. Mm-hmm. Like the Money Trees instrumental,
yeah,
is something you can really sink into. The instrumental on Real is something that like is just feels so full and lush. And same with like Don't Kill My Vibe and Mad City and stuff. So like, just, I would really just like, maybe I don't know if Kendrick Lamar can really provide that anymore, based off what Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers was. But I mean, at the same time, maybe.
Were you disappointed by Mr. Morale?
Oh no, not at all. But it's just not.
People are calling a brick. Multiple people have called a brick in the last 2 weeks.
Okay, well, I disagree with them. It's still an excellent album, but it's not like.
Is it a harder listen?
Yes, and I think intentionally so, because it's a therapy session. The album is.
Do you
a
ever go back
session.
And listen to songs off that? I mean, there's like Rich. There's like Rich.
Yeah, like
Spirit,
I mean, I go
dope.
Back to like Rich Spirit and Savior.
Yeah.
And all that. I don't. You know, I'm not going back to Crown. Crown is the song that people that don't like Kendrick Lamar think all Kendrick Lamar songs sound mm-hmm. like, which is like excellent lyricism. But it's not interesting to listen to.
Yeah.
He's saying so much, but it's just a very drab delivery and a piano. So it's
very poignant. It's a poignant song. But
yeah. Like, and pointed at himself. But yeah, so regardless, like, I guess like kind of what Utopia was, but maybe with a little more substance.
Yeah, just like a highly anticipated record, maybe?
Of just something that like rich, that's greatly produced, that's got something to say. That would be great. I would love to hear that.
Some Calvin Harris.
Oh, Calvin Harris.
Calvin Harris. Funkwave Bounce 2 was really, really disappointing, which came out in 2022.
Yeah.
Obviously, Volume 1 is like an absolute classic
mm-hmm.
with like Slide, Feels, Heat Wave, mm-hmm. Rollin'. The Weeknd seems to be kind of coming back. He said that he was done with features, and then he had a full-blown feature on the last record.
He had
like harmonizing vocals on both, and then just a straight-up feature on this one.
Mm-hmm.
That final Weeknd record is going to be... It sounds like Charli XCX might drop.
Yeah, I really like B2B.
That would
be
dope.
The single that she came out with, Club Classics, and Von Dutch haven't moved me.
I did not like Von Dutch, but yeah. I did like B2B.
Haven't moved me horribly, but B2B is very cool. It's a very cool song. Well, it's 5:57. Yeah. We could play it.
Yeah, we'll play it.
Or what was the other Illusion. Song you had? The other song you had suggested playing?
Illusion.
Illusion?
Dua Lipa.
Oh, right. We can do either.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to get to talk about... Do you know what the title of her record is going to be?
Did Dua Lipa's album?
Yeah. Because you read me the post that I didn't check.
Oh. I have no idea what it's going to be called. Because I think whenever... Because I've been confusing the... Like, I'll see a single announced, and I thought, like, that's the album. Like, I thought it was going to be called Training Season. Turns out that's just a single. And I think the same thing happened with Illusion. So I'm maybe my media literacy is just terrible, but I don't remember what the actual album's going to be called.
Radical Optimism.
Oh, yes. That is right. I could use some Radical Optimism right now.
That sounds like a perfect summer record.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, yeah, we will end this show with Dua Lipa's final single for her new upcoming record, dropping May 3rd. This is Illusion off of the upcoming album Radical Optimism. We are Music's on the Menu. I am Hugh Dana.
Alex Bird.
Long live the Arizona Coyotes. And have a wonderful week.
Yes.
This is Illusion.
I've been known to miss a red flag. I've been known to put my lover on a pedestal. In the end, those things just don't last. And it's time I take my rose-colored glasses off.